and welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ. We are live. We are live, brother. How you doing?
Man, I'm good on this Tuesday afternoon, man.
That's right. That's right. Family's good. Everyone's good, man. We about to jump into this politicking with the village. Let's just go ahead and get after it, bro. This first topic, man, let's jump on to it. Let's talk about POTUS's handling of Porter. You know, Porter was what is he? Not chief of staff, but and so what I'm trying to say is Porter wasn't not chief of staff, but he was in a high ranking position within the White House. And the issue is that, you know, I get the big issue of the domestic violence, because that's a huge issue altogether by itself. That's huge, right? That's a completely separate thing. But for me, the issue is, another issue is, this man has been handling sensitive documents for over a year now and could not get a security clearance. You know, I get it. You can work with a temporary clearance. You can do that. Fine. Mm-hmm. But something, as an administrator or a higher up in the administration, some kind of alarm or bell should go off if someone that you're employing cannot get a full security clearance within a year of a year. I don't know, man. Like, I think that says a lot about what's going on. So let me throw it to you and get your thoughts on it. Go ahead, man.
You know, the whole thing with the domestic, and you know, that's Trump. You know, that's right up Trump's alley. That's one of his homeboys. You know, what he's, you know, Trump is known for, not necessarily domestic violence, but definitely anything that degrades women. So, you know, he's a comrade in arms, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that this guy couldn't get his clearance and all that, I think, you know, the White House has a lot of discretion with that, and they were able to utilize it. This time it's bit him in the butt, because this guy, turns out that he's not a really good guy that Trump likes to out all of his people being.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you know, it's another black eye for the administration, another scandal for the administration.
and so yeah, little man just walked in a little earlier than usual. It's all good. Anyways, so yeah, just looking at what this administration does and what's going on and how they're trying to handle this is what I think strikes a lot of people. Now, the entire administration, in a sense, kind of, well, not the entire administration, I want to say President Trump, he kind of was like, he did a great thing, or I wish him the best, you know, he'll have a great career outside of here. And I was literally like, you know, in my mind, I was thinking, football players who are silently protesting are SOBs, but you're wishing this man a great career outside of here. You know, like the two just don't go together to me. You can't have one without the other. And so a chance, when you get a chance, if you're ready, yeah, thumbs up me. I got you on mute. Just thumbs up me and I'll unmute you. But I think essentially what a lot of people are seeing with this administration is the reason why, and then I'm going to unmute my brother here. Okay, so Chance, give me your thoughts. Go ahead and finish your thoughts, man.
So it's, you pointed out, it's very hypocritical on the GOP's part for them to sit there and wish this guy well, and yet call out people that are peacefully protesting an injustice. You know, it just fits the mold.
All right, Chance, give me the thumbs up again. But here it is. You know, like you said, it fits the mold of what's going on at this administration. I'm not going to sit up here and say that domestic violence is right, because it's absolutely wrong across the board. Criminal action should have been taken, and apparently it was. But at the same time, when we're looking at what is transpiring as far as, like you said, the hypocritical nature that this administration is showing, it really is just like, well, what direction is this going? And so I have to look at this. I'm trying to look at this from a broad perspective, right? Of maybe they didn't know. But the truth of the matter is they already knew. The FBI director has come out and said, give me your thumbs up when you're ready, Chance. The FBI director has come out and said, no, I gave you guys the information. Now, what you do with it is up to you. But the FBI has literally said, we will not grant him, we cannot give him full clearance based on this information. Why? Because it compromises him. He can be blackmailed with this kind of information. And that's one of the reasons why when you go for a security clearance, I don't know about Chance, but I've had two security clearances now. I'm on my second one. There are certain things that automatically knock you out of getting a security clearance. And domestic violence is definitely high up there. Now, my own personal clearance, when I was going through the process, it literally took a while because I had a few bumps in my credit report and I had to fix that stuff. And I got it fixed and I was able to get a clearance when I was active duty. However, domestic violence was never an issue. Not something in my world, right? So it lets me know that you can be a certain caliber of person, and I guess as long as you can do your job, he doesn't really care. And that's how I looked at this whole thing. Now, there are those that are going to say otherwise, and you have the right to say that. You know, they have the right to think otherwise. But at the end of the day, okay, go ahead, Chance. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. I've had a security clearance, and it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. All this type of thing they were talking about Hillary on, but this is the very thing that they were, pressing Hillary on, and how it was so unfair. But they're coming back and doing not just one incident, but it's like every week there's a new incident of something that the Trump administration were pointing a finger at, an alleged activity of the Clintons that they're outright and blatantly doing.
All right. So, and even with, what you're saying, I get exactly what you're saying, Chance, how when you look at what's going on and you look at how things are planning out and playing out, all the things that the Trump administration, even Flynn and everyone else was like talking about lock her up, you really have to look at, well, damn, do we lock y'all up? Because the very same things that you're saying are wrong and that they were doing wrong, you're kind of taking no steps, right? And I'm not going to sit up here and say that Hillary Clinton was innocent, because we know that she's not. That's just the nature of the beast. That's politics. I get it. No politician has clean hands, right? That's just what it is. It's about what you can prove most of the time. So, with that in mind, I am literally thinking to myself, what can be done? Because you got to think about it. His kids don't even have full security clearances yet, from what I understand. So, mm-hmm. Now what? Go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. It's this administration, the cabinet, it's really a joke. It's kind of a laughingstock within career government officials, mm-hmm. and of the world. They don't get any respect because, one, most of these people are incompetent. Two, they have some kind of criminal baggage that comes along with them, or some indictable offense, or, there's this something that is there that renders them either blackmailable, unable to get a clearance, unable to do their jobs. And how many times has the White House staff changed this first year?
I lost count. What is it, over 40 now or something like that? Like, it's well over 40. It's going through some major changes, and it could go through more major changes. Because here's the truth of the matter. If General Kelly, Chief of Staff, if he walks out, I believe a lot of things are going to change. Like, I think he is essentially the last gatekeeper in all this. I think he is. As much as people talk bad about him and some of the things he says, I still think he's the last gatekeeper. I think if General Kelly is gone, I don't think Ivanka's going to be able to do enough to tell her daddy no. So I think he's the last one. Anything else on this one, man, before moving to the next topic?
No.
Okay, so the next one is the intel chief of the U.S. He says the U.S. is under attack. He says Russia is basically trying to hack into 2018 elections and do the same damn thing, right? But this is the crazy piece. We're over here trying to get sanctions against Russia, but our president is fighting it. All 17 of our security agencies are like, look, this is what's going on. but he's still trying to be friends with Russia. That's what I don't get. You're not listening to the people that do this professionally. This is what they do. Day in, day out, 3 hours of sleep. They protect the country. They love it. But you are literally demeaning and diminishing what they do by not taking their advice and their intel. That's how I feel about that.
Well, I mean, it's kind of, to me, it's obviously, you know, why.
Well, of course.
Gave him the presidency. Mm-hmm. He's in bed with the Russians. And, of course, he's not going to do anything to upset Putin because Putin's blackmailing him with whatever he has. You know, probably multiple things he has on him.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump doesn't want to go to an American prison. And definitely not a federal prison. So he's going to do whatever he can to block, interfere, obstruct justice every turn he can.
Mm-hmm.
And people are coming up to defend everything he's doing. But if you were to look at everything he's done within this last year, if any other president would have done that, Barack Obama would have blocked, you know, would have said, you know, I'm not going to show my birth certificate. You know, we're still waiting on Trump's tax.
You know,
I look at this whole mess and the truth will come out. My guess is it's going to come out somewhere a few months before the election is when the impeachment proceedings or the call to impeachment will happen. Republicans are not going to want to impeach. And I think that's going to cause such a groundswell that every Democrat that was on the fence about voting is going to come out and vote. We're going to have a landslide victory. Both houses are going to flip. One of the first orders of business. If your candidate, firstly, if you have a candidate that is not willing to impeach the president of the United States, get a new candidate, because that's one of the duties. You know, that's saying, that's just coming out and saying that I'm not willing to do my duty. So that right there.
It says a lot right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2018 is definitely going to be. And if the houses, if everything House, Senate flips, I don't think it's going to be until 2020. I'm serious, man. I don't think they're going to wait that long. I think it's going to be almost instantaneous. I'm talking about within a few months of the flip. I think it'll be a article of impeachments are being drawn up. We need y'all to come over here and get this signed. I think yeah. That's going to happen. It won't happen in 2020. I don't think it's going to last that. I don't think he'll last that long at this point.
Oh, no.
Okay, because I thought you meant he's going to go into the next election, like the presidential election or the 2018, House and Senate and everything like that, where, we get in there and do that. That's what I thought you meant.
No. Definitely, once 2018 hits, my concern is that there's already a few weak-kneed Democrats that say they're concerned about upsetting people and being bad for the country if we impeach the president. Mm. Well, I think what's for the country is if we allow a criminal, colluder, treasonous POS sit there in the Oval Office.
Mm-hmm.
That's even worse. So,
yeah.
Boys and girls,
stand by.
Girl up and get on it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think repealing the ridiculous tax cuts. And possibly getting in some real tax reform, fixing immigration, would be, those are some of the first things that they have to do along with the impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
Then shoring up immediately throwing those sanctions onto Russia that Trump's been blocking. Now, even though both houses passed it, both houses of Congress passed the sanctions, Trump refuses to enact them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that not a blatant call to say, perhaps there could be something to these Russia things, but the GOP base seems to be totally immune from that reality.
Exactly. So all we can do is wait and see. Hopefully 2018 we'll see some big changes in the House and the Senate, and we'll go from there. All right, Chance, let's move on to this last topic here, man, because our time is pretty much coming to an end here. Let's look at this. Trump's budget would partly replace food stamps benefits with canned goods. You know what I found funny about this? How they tried to label it as a Blue Apron-ish type program. I'm like, mm-hmm. Look, if you've ever seen Blue Apron, my God, they give you some quality stuff. This is no joke. You get some quality. Canned goods is not like quality. Canned goods is we got to feed somebody. Mm-hmm. We got to feed people. We got to feed these children, these pregnant women. You know, let's just give them this, right? I'm not saying canned food is bad. Some of it is. But what I am saying is you cannot even begin to label this as a Blue Apron type program. Not a chance in hell.
Yeah, you can't equate one with the other. It's, you know, what really caught me was the fact that, you know, the GOP is supposed to be all about small government. But now you're going to have the Department of Agriculture buying food for 43 million people, distributing food to 43 million people. They're going to need to expand and get some infrastructure to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Have to be able to create more government administration. You're going to have to be able to appropriate, buy, select vendors, all kinds of this stuff across 50 states and however many territories. It was 50 states and 6 territories. It's to me, that sounds like you're ballooning the government, making more government bureaucracy. And, you know, because the government's really good at doing stuff like that versus an individual going to a store and buying something. That's why they went to this program in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And here's another piece, Village. I'm not going to sit up here and deny that there are people, in my opinion, like I've seen people be on Facebook talking about they're getting, you know, all kinds of money for food stamps and stuff like that. And I get it. There are people, in my opinion, that abuse the system. They abuse it, right? And there needs to be some kind of regulation for that. But this is not the way to do it. This is not this. This not only balloons our economy and makes it worse, our infrastructure worse, because like you said, I was thinking the same thing. Now we got to put in provisions to make sure that this is being done correctly. While me, on the other hand, I would rather look at this program that we currently have, SNAP, which from the article that I'm reading through Washington Post, takes care of about 42 million Americans. The average food voucher is about $125 per person. And under the new proposal, the households receiving $90 or more per month in SNAP benefits will receive a portion of their benefits in a form of a USDA foods package, which includes such items as shelf-stable milk. Not sure what that is.
Ready. You don't have to refrigerate.
What's that?
You don't have to refrigerate it.
You don't have to refrigerate milk? Since when?
Yeah, that's shelf-stable milk. That's
The milk in the can?
No, it's in a regular milk container, but you don't have to refrigerate it.
Huh? Okay. As milk is, milk is already good for you anyway. But I'm not going to go there right now. Ready-to-eat cereals, pasta, peanut butter, beans, and canned fruit, vegetables, meat, poultry, or fish. Right? That's not going to work. It's not going to work on so many levels, but here it is. I believe this man, our president, I finally accepted it. I can say it. He's just trying to save money, right? But coming from someone who's always had the silver spoon in their mouth, because I remember a point I was on these assistance programs as a kid. I remember getting them, right? And I improved my life, right? But to me, this move here is coming from people that have never really been on the system. This is how this looks. They're like, oh, they're just abusing the system. You've never been on the system. Are there people that abuse it? Yes. But you can't lump everybody into one thing, is what I'm trying to say.
Right. You know, they find the most egregious offender, and they become the poster child for everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they ignore the fact that, you know, look at how many is it? It's like 1 in 1,000, 1 in 10,000. They look at, this is how they target their audience. They look at immigrants. They have to search rolls of thousands of people to find, hey, look, we finally found a criminal. So that's the poster boy for everybody. They ignore the doctors. They ignore the lawyers. They ignore the fact that you're probably going to see a doctor that's an immigrant. You know, they ignore that you're going to probably be treated by a nurse that's an immigrant. They ignore all of these things. There's a good possibility your kids are being taught by immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your houses are built by immigrants. The food you're eating is picked by immigrants, but they're going to go and look for the one person that they can find. Oh, that person represents the majority of the people coming in, when it's just the opposite. But, you know, and that's what they do with any type of social safety net program. They always look for try to find the abusers. And, you know, even with Medicare, Medicaid, the numbers are around 3% abuse. You know, that does work out to some significant dollars, several billion dollars. If you can fix that 3% without having it cost several billions of dollars to fix it, so be it, fix it. Mm-hmm. What you don't do is you don't cut off a program because some people abuse it. Rich people abuse stuff too, but no one's cutting off any of their big tax cuts and anything else. Everyone's always looking to cut things for the poor.
Exactly. And that's something that that's dead on. We're always looking to cut more from poor people, but the top 1% and even those that are slightly below that, we want to give them more. Like, this whole trickle down is just a load of crap, and people don't. I especially need poor Republicans to realize that it's a load of crap. It didn't work under Reagan, and it's not going to work now. It's a load of crap.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be honest with you, Chance. Those tax breaks were for me and you.
Right.
My paycheck went up. I'm just like you. I'm over 75K a year. I'm good. My taxes are great. I'm getting more money, right? But those of you that are below that number, that line, right? Guess what? You're getting screwed. You're getting screwed, right? So people don't understand that. Am I willing to pay more to help people? Yes, I am. But guess what? He's literally telling you, in a sense, you don't matter, and here's why. And these are the people I'm trying to help. And guess what, America? Chance and I are benefiting from this. I'm not even going to sit up here and lie to you and tell you that I'm not. These new tax cuts helped a brother out. Appreciate you, dog. And I'll leave it at that. Anything else, Chance, before you call it a show?
No. I think you're absolutely right. And the thing is, they don't really care because they know they can post some targeted ads, a little more Russian interference, you know, throw a bunch of false narratives out there. And those people will believe it because it fits the narrative that they want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
They want to believe that Canadian medical takes, you know, you can die waiting to get seen by a doctor. They want to believe that because they don't understand what a single payer system is. So they want to believe whatever. It must be bad if everyone gets it for free, you know. So that's, you know, we're not struggling and toiling for something. We're actually getting it free. You know, if we went to a flat tax, we did something as simple as make everyone above the poverty line pay 10% of their salary, no deductions. Get rid of all deductions. You just pay a flat 10%. And for those people making over $1 million, you know, if we were to tax people making $1 million and above on the monies, $1 million and above, tax that at 25%, you know, we would have 5.6 trillion dollars.
Mm.
Federal coffers, more than twice as much as currently being collected, just by doing a flat tax with no deduction. But since that goes to tell you just how many deductions there are. And even though we have this really high tax rate, the effective tax rates are so low because of all the deductions and all the little loopholes. These people essentially don't pay anything.
Mm-hmm.
So where do they hit you? They hit the poor people.
Because they're the easiest target.
They're the easiest targets because they don't have the means to either buy the financial vehicles that'll keep them from having to pay, or they don't have the legal representation or the wherewithal to to figure out how they don't have to.
I think it's more of a knowledge-based issue. I think most of them just don't know. That's what I really believe it is. I think they just don't know. They're like, look, I'm living, I'm surviving, and some people are just happy with surviving and not being on the streets, which is not a way to live your life.
Yeah, but you know, it's not cost effective for me to open my business in Delaware. But if I had a few million dollars to do it, sure, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Cut all that off. But if I'm only working with a couple thousand, well, it doesn't make sense. So, you know, everything is set up. You know, these poor people need to realize these laws were made by rich people. Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps. Rich people came up with this stuff, not to benefit poor people, because they don't know how to benefit poor people. If you wanted to benefit poor people, you would have had a tiered system so you could wean people off as their lot in life improves. You don't cut the benefit off. You you tear it down, so they still have an incentive to continue improvement. But, you know, they don't go from getting a $900 a month, you know, housing and food supplement to zero because they made a dollar more a year, you know, because they got a promotion or a raise. Current system, which makes no sense. It disincentivizes people to improve their lot. So
makes you dependent on the system.
Keeps you dependent on the system and keeps those people voting for the people that are willing to continue the system. But it never weans them off.
Yep.
It's the fault of the Democrats, and the Republicans have seized on it. But unfortunately, most of those poor states are red states, and Republicans didn't really realize, those poor Republicans, that those people leeching on the system Republicans have been talking about, that's y'all. Look in the camera, that's y'all. Republicans have been targeting you, and you guys are starting to feel the pinch.
That's it.
And, you know, this is the pain that I was talking about in earlier shows. There's going to be a lot of pain before it gets better. This guy in, you got what you asked for. I said it before. I'm going to do well. You know, Kevin and I, we're doing all right.
I'm doing good. I'm not going front. I'm doing A-OK with these tax breaks. So I'll be 100% honest with you.
Out, but, you know, I'm doing all right. And, you know, I'm not seven figures yet.
Same here. Yet.
But
day's coming.
You know, I don't with seven figures, I don't mind paying 20%. 25 on income, seven figures and above. Why? Why would I? How is that really?
It doesn't affect your life, your lifestyle, your income. It doesn't really affect you.
My, you know, all my bills, my lifestyle is taken care of on the income below $1 million. And that's taxed at 10%. So why are people so scared of a flat tax? You know, you say get rid of deductions. We had to do another show. I wrote a proposal on a tax, on a federal budget. You don't even have to have people over 80, U.S. citizens over 80. You don't take them off tax rolls. They've done enough. 80? Get off tax roll. You're below the poverty line? Get off the tax roll. We increment you up for 1,000 until you get to a threshold where you're at 10,000. I mean, at 10%. And you stay at 10% all the way up through $1 million.
That's another show topic we got to sit and develop, bro. Yeah, we got to break that one down even better. All right, Chance. So this is our time, brother. How do we get a hold of you on social media and things of that nature?
So I can be reached at Chance W. Brown on Twitter, and you can hit me up on the Welcome to the Village Facebook site as well. I'm out there from time to time, and if you stalk me well enough, you can find me on Facebook as well.
They stopped you enough. All right. I am at Enlighten My Mind. I'm also handle the Village Twitter handle at W2TheVillage. Show can be heard on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Podomatic, Tumblr by searching Welcome to the Village. Crowdcast replays can be viewed on Welcome to the Village YouTube channel, Tumblr, and Google Plus by searching Welcome to the Village. Google phone 619-202-1562. Leave us a Google voicemail or send us a text. We'll read the text. We'll play the Google voicemail. Only positive stuff. We're not looking for anybody negative. Email us at welcometothevillage@gmail.com. The website, welcometothevillage.wixsite.com/website, is under construction. However, the village is on vacation next week. So I'm, well, not a full vacation. So we'll figure that out as far as if we're going to be doing a bunch of shows or I'm just going to be putting shows out. So we'll figure that out. But the website will definitely be worked on next week because I will be available to just sit and hop on YouTube and rattle off videos and go page by page and figure out how to create my website, my damn self. And it will be glorious when it's all said and done. Mark my words. Additionally, if you guys simply subscribe to the Crowdcast channel, you'll get a notification when we're going live. And you guys can come into the Crowdcast and enjoy the show or continue doing what you're doing. And for those of you that joined me on my Facebook Live or on the Village Facebook Live or on YouTube Live, we thank each and every last one of you. Promotional opportunities are available through Fiverr. That is also under construction, but there is stuff available. The Etsy page is just go to Etsy and search W2TV and you will find us and we will come up. Village, Chance, great show. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you as usual.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir, indeed. And as the saying goes, Village, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. Have a great day. Bye, everybody. You're walking with the Village.
You walking with the village. You walking. Get it.